Well, welcome everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation IRT meeting on the 24th of April, 2018. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call. As a reminder to all participants, would please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and if you would please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn the meeting over to Amy Bivitt.
This is Michelle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Amy Bivens from ICANN.org, and today we're going to circle back to the discussion we've been having about the proposed fees for privacy and proxy service provider accreditation. We have on the call, as you probably heard, we have Xavier, Jen, and Cyrus as well, and I have up on the screen the most recent documentation that we sent you about the proposed fees. The document explains at a very high level some of the internal processes that were considered in the process of estimating the program costs.
For to send breakdown.
And so at gonna, our, sorry, if you're not speaking, please go on mute.
For this, a higher fee then.
Okay, so at our most recent meeting about this topic in Puerto Rico, we had a request from the IRT for some additional information about how ICANN.org settled on the proposed fees. Some specific questions you had are why the fees are what they are being proposed, and how the fees are related to program costs. We also had a request for some more detail about specifically what departments at ICANN are contributing to the expected costs. There was a request for a detailed, more a line-by-line type summary of program costs. So we have Xavier here, who's ICANN's CFO, to provide some more information about how we settled upon the proposed fees that were proposed for the program. So I encourage you to listen to Xavier's quick presentation, and then we'll open it up for questions and comments. We also have Cyrus and Jen here if you have questions or comments for them. So with that, I'll turn it over to Xavier for a quick presentation. Xavier, you can go ahead.
Thank you, Amy. Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking the time. And thank you for the opportunity to speak more about this topic. Since you have already had a number of discussions on the topic, I'll jump in directly. What I wanted to be able to help clarify, knowing that thanks to Amy, she's recapped the conversations we have occurred before. I think I'm hearing some keyboard. If anyone can mute, please. So the way we approach defining a pricing for such a service, not that it's a frequent occurrence at ICANN, but generally speaking, there are a number of various elements that are driving what the pricing should be. And I'll bucket them into three groups, and that are all contributing to helping us define a price, and none individually is sufficient to determine a price. So the first one that I will describe is what I would call the benchmark factor. So what are the comparable services and pricing that are associated to those services that can be used to help evaluate the price of a new service that needs to be set. apologies. So that benchmarking, you can call it also a bit of a market evaluation, though for us market is not exactly as relevant, so I'm calling it a little bit more benchmark. What exists today that it can be used as a comparative information and that can inform the pricing that we need to determine? A second, and just to be comprehensive, a subset of that first element is also ensuring that the pricing is both not a deterrent to entrance in the service or entrance in that specific market of services, as well as, therefore, it's not too high. And at the same time, it also needs to be not too low so that it can prevent non-serious inquiry for service and potentially be able to completely disrupt by not even knowing what really the services are or not being directly capable of providing the services, which would be disruptive to all the actors on this specific market or sub-market. So that's the notion of barrier to entry, which needs to be not too high and not too low. So I'm putting that in that bucket of benchmarking. The second element that contributes to defining the pricing is what I would call a principle of simplicity. Simplicity in the sense that it is easily understandable and usable by the potential actors on the given market. Within simplicity, I think there's a certain amount of predictability of what the pricing is. There is also an expectation of stability of the pricing. Obviously, you don't know that the price changes every week or every month in a manner that's unpredictable and confuses, therefore, the actors on the market, whether they're already present on the market or they're considering entering into the market. So simplicity, predictability, stability of the pricing is also another element that contributes to defining your pricing. And the third bucket, of course, which I left last, one that is coming often first, but is the cost of the services rendered. So those are the three elements that we take into account to define a pricing. And those are obviously elements that have contributed to suggest the pricing that we have retained. So if I look at each of these buckets, more specifically for the application processing fee that this policy leads to determine, our approach to benchmarking, of course, has used the one specific benchmark that we have handy and that all of you know is the application processing for a registrar accreditation, which has been existing, of course, for a long time, is well known by both ICANN and the parties involved, the registrars. And has a number of similarities relative to the activities that are required to complete the application for an accreditation. So that's an obvious benchmark. There's not a lot of other types of benchmarks. Of course, we have quickly considered and eliminated an application fee to the new GTLE program, for example, which is a completely different type of exercise and activity. So that's the benchmark element. In regarding the topic that I described earlier of barrier to entry, it's not too high, not too low. We felt that the experience on the basis of the accreditation fee would be also adequately met with looking at it from that perspective. The second element is simplicity, transparency, predictability. So we felt that how do we use a pricing that is clear, will be understood or at least recognized in the market, can be set in a fashion that allows it to not be variable, too often that can be set in a fashion that will make it also understandable from the perspective of also comparability. We felt that the accreditation fee, application fee for registrars allows that simplicity and clarity to be met. That obviously other levels of fees could also provide simplicity and clarity. The accreditation fee for registrar accreditation has the merit in quotes to already exist and be visible. Third evaluation or aspect of evaluation is the cost. Obviously, the principle that we all apply, as everyone knows, is that we look at the cost of services, not at the cost plus margin. In using the cost, I want to emphasize that the cost element, because it participates to the exercise along with other criteria, is more of a corroboration exercise than a determination exercise. What I mean by that is, as I said earlier, the cost alone is not the element that will drive the determination of the pricing, but it should corroborate what the pricing is along with the other elements that contribute to the pricing. The costing, that estimate that we've tried to do for this purpose, which was emphasize an estimate rather than a detailed costing exercise, which we don't necessarily carry out as an ongoing or frequent occurrence. The cost estimation that we've carried out was one that focuses, I would call it a little bit restrictive in the sense that it focuses on including only the direct or indirect activities that contribute to the performance of the accreditation evaluation, that would, on the basis of the understanding that we all have of it for now. And as a result, and it's been also including, of course, a certain rate of overheads. But what it's not done on the purpose of trying to ensure that we don't use an element of cost that is overstated in quotes or difficult to measure or to understand, we've only included the more direct activities. So we have not included the implementation costs or an amortization of implementation costs, for example, which a normal business would normally do. We have also not tried to include any what I would call ancillary activities that would come with the determination of a pricing, like management reviews, like reporting and publication and potential communication about it. So there's a very minimalist approach to the cost estimate that we've tried to use. And as part of answering the questions that were asked, we will provide a breakdown of the elements that contributed to that. You know most of them, of course, but in concept. But there's this background check. That's a significant element of the pricing. And there's then the activities of evaluation, of receiving an application, of evaluating the application, of making a decision. And there's also certain element of ongoing maintenance in quotes of the accreditation, but that's obviously not specifically part of the application part of the fee. With that, I will stop here and let Amy raise the be able to manage the queue. I know there's chat comments as well, which I have not looked at as I was speaking. If you bear with me, it may be easier if it's possible for you to raise the points that you have made in the chat if you would like that they can be discussed. Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier. And this is Amy. We have several people in the queue with hands raised, so we'll start with them. And I'll also try to go back and read the questions in the chat if they're not raised on the line. Michaeli, you can go first.
Thanks, Amy. Michaeli for the record. Good afternoon, Xavier. Bonjour. I am frankly shocked and depressed by this. I think it's actually quite offensive that we would be subjected to this. We as registrars and providers of proxy privacy services requested of ICANN GDD on multiple occasions going back at least 2 months, possibly three, details about how ICANN came up with the fee structure that is being proposed. We got back fluffy, not kind of very vague details. We were then informed that we would get details. We asked for that repeatedly. Nothing was forthcoming. And then today we get some kind of presentation, which I have great difficulty. I've taken down a few keywords, and I'm finding it very, very hard for me to relate the presentation that we just had to the request that was tabled. We asked for clarity and for detail on how ICANN arrived at the costs for the accreditation. For the accreditation, both in terms of the application fee and the ongoing annual fee. What I heard made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever and referred to a lot of things that are completely out of scope and don't actually address any of that. Talking about the market is completely meaningless. How can you talk about the market when you are the only provider? The ICANN is the only entity that can provide the accreditation for proxy privacy providers within the scope of this. So talking about the market makes no sense, because effectively you are the market of one. Talking about pricing and competition, again, I have absolutely no idea what that referred to, unless there was some misunderstanding as to what it is exactly proxy privacy providers are dealing with. Simplicity, fine, sure. Give me pricing that's simple and I understand it. That's what we've been asking for. Clarity, that's what we've asked for and did not receive. Consistency, I suppose there is consistency in that we did not receive it. I mean, ultimately, I'm just gobsmacked. I'm aghast. The costing around this is meant to be on cost recovery basis. At ICANN 61, in one of the sessions, which was with ICANN Compliance, we asked them pointedly whether or not they envisaged any increase in headcount in order to deal with the complaints that were projected to come from privacy proxy, and also what volume of complaints they were already dealing with in relation to privacy proxy. The answer we got, and I'm paraphrasing, was essentially say that the volume of complaints they were dealing with was not sufficient to warrant an increase in the headcount, and that they had no plans to increase their headcount. So, I don't understand where these fees are coming from. And unfortunately, the explanation that was being provided does nothing to clarify it. Thank you.
Amy, can I?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Thank you. I've tried to make some notes, Michele, and I will try to hit every point that you've made, and please feel free to point to me those that I will not have addressed. The first point is your frustration with the timing and content or lack of content and of the responses, which I think we want to acknowledge and agree on the point of you've been waiting for that information, in our response has taken time to come. I'll talk about how it's coming and what is coming, which is the rest of your point. And I recognize I will take collective responsibility here to be able to acknowledge the fact that it's taken us a while to be able to come back to the point. Also, because I think there's a gap of understanding, which I will also try to go over in the next few comments. So, relative to details, I think that the question about details is receiving more information. What I indicated earlier is that in addition to what's been provided that describes the fees, which is the documents that are currently there from the perspective of the activities that contribute to the fee information, I suggested that we provide the next level of detail of the cost so that you have a better understanding of the costs element that get into that. Second, you said it makes no sense to talk about market pricing. That's why I explicitly said that market for us is not a meaningful element. I'm not sure you heard that. So I used the notion of benchmark rather than market. I simply mentioned market to say that it was not a market analysis. So hopefully that corrects your understanding. You acknowledge and appreciate the point of simplicity and consistency, fine. Cost recovery, it's very important that we can talk about this, so thank you for raising that point. You may have heard me, and we should have communicated in that fashion, talk about price. I separately talked about costs. There is a difference between a price and a cost. What we are setting is a price. We are not defining a cost that then becomes a price, which is why there's other elements than simply costs entering into the definition of a price. And we're not setting a price for Black Knight or an existing registrar. We're setting a price for all the actors that could come as a privacy proxy. And of course, as you know, there's been a distinction made between accreditation costs for and pricing for those actors on privacy proxy that would also be registrars. So there's a very important notional difference between a price and a cost. The pricing, as I indicated earlier, using the three elements that I mentioned, was determined on the basis of also being informed by cost, which is why, and that's pertaining to the principle that you repeated earlier of a cost recovery. So that's the elements that I think are important to understand. Relative to compliance, I knew you would raise this point. I think that there is a very important distinction to make between what you just said and what we need to take into account. You pointed out to whether or not, in this case, the compliance department would add resources in expanding this service or not. The notion of whether it's adding resources and therefore costs, and that should then trigger or not a fee or a component of the fee, is assuming that we are determining a marginal pricing for this service. And that's entirely wrong. We are not offering a marginal pricing. This is a pricing that applies to someone who could never have been a registrar before, never have been in the DNS market before. And that's the pricing that applies to any applicant, in, of course, making a distinction whether if the registrar has been, if the applicant for privacy proxy has also been a registrar. But we are not offering a pricing that is a marginal pricing. it's a fully absorbed pricing, as it should, by the way. Because otherwise, what happens is that you're basically assuming that the compliance activities that the compliance department does today and will tomorrow incur to support the activity of privacy proxy would be then not paid by the applicants, but by the existing base of registrars and privacy proxy providers down the road, which is entirely unfair. So there has to be an absorption of the activities of all the contributing functions within that pricing, which again is a pricing that needs to be set fully cost recovery, which it's not, as I said, because it's not including all the costs that we believe we would be incurring in relation to this activity. So it's very important to understand the difference between a marginal cost change and the cost that enters, the standard in quotes cost that enters into the activities that contribute to this privacy proxy. So we're not looking, nor should you be looking, at a marginal cost increase, but at how much activity and therefore cost of that activity enters into the accreditation exercise. I understand why a current registrar who would provide the currently privacy proxy services would look at it from an incremental standpoint. But I cannot look at it from an incremental standpoint because we offer this pricing for a service of accreditation that needs to be, as you said, cost recovery based. But again, it's a pricing, it's not a cost. Otherwise, it would change every month or every 3 months or whenever our costs change, by the way, which would contradict the principle of simplicity, transparency, and the clarity of the fee. I may have missed some points that you have touched on. And I know there's others in the queue, so I don't want to take too much of the time, but Michele, what have I not addressed?
Thanks, Xavier, Michele. For the record, I think we have a philosophical difference here. From my perspective, and I suspect that others would share my view, we do not view ICANN as providing a service, because effectively you don't provide a service and won't be providing a service in this instance. It will be a contractual obligation, which I suppose if I was to think of an analogy in the physical world, it would be like if you want to operate a particular type of machinery, you need to be certified or something like that. But even that analogy falls short because we've all been offering the service for years without the certification. So I just find that we're at a philosophical difference here and we are not going to agree. And essentially, I really don't feel like bickering with you over this because it's not going to help either of us. But I think your view around this and our view around this
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Did I get cut off? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Michele. You did not get cut off. This is Amy. Okay, we'll try to figure out what the issue is.
Okay, fine. I just got all this kind of weird stuff about leaving messages.
We all heard it, Michele. You're right.
Okay, now
can I come back specifically on the point of service or no service? I'm very happy to use a different word than service because I would actually completely agree with the overall description of what ICANN provides that you were using, or whether the words are exactly the same or not. To me, that makes no difference. I agree with you. It's not a service from the perspective of providing an ongoing service. And it's more, as it is described in accreditation, I'm simply using the wording that's currently been used in the documents that we've shared, which I assume that which that was an agreed upon description. If it's not, I'm completely fine using a different perspective. We're focusing on the word is actually not a philosophical difference. It's simply a vocabulary difference in my view. I don't think there is a philosophical difference from that perspective. Amy, I think, Michele, you still have your hand up, but I don't know if it's a new or an old hand.
That's fine, I'll take it down.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Amy. We have Cyrus in the room. I think Cyrus wanted to chime in as well, and then we can go to Steve Metallis, who's had his hand raised for a while.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Michele. I think this is a very constructive conversation, frankly, because it really is pointing to the core of the disconnect, I suppose, in regards to how within our finance and accounting sort of mechanisms review these services as opposed to for you guys who are going to provide these services and what your expectations are. But I just wanted to sort of take a step back and look at the whole thing and remind all of you and all of us really that this is an 80 plus page contract that will go into effect once this is all said and done. There's an application process, there's some fixed fees that we'll have to pay for background checks and things like that. And ultimately down the road, there's going to be compliance enforcement, audits and things like that, that will probably be beyond our upcoming fiscal year, FY19, which may have been a part of what Maggie told you in I-1061. I don't know. But I also want us to focus on the fact that running this program the way it's being envisioned now versus what it has been so far, unregulated, for lack of a better term, is going to involve a number of departments within ICANN, obviously some hard costs and some softer costs and things like that. And if we continue to bicker over whether ICANN should actually charge for this service or not, then my question is, where do you expect the expenses of this being accounted for? It has to come from somewhere. So just keep that in mind. I don't expect a response or anything, but just to help sort of at least level set at that level. Thank you very much. Thanks, Amy, for letting me chime in.
Thank you, Cyrus. And this is Amy. And Steve, you've had your hand raised for a while. We can go to you.
Yes, thanks. This is Steve Metallis. I'm definitely more confused now than I was 30 minutes ago, which is probably not a very good sign. And I do agree with much of what Michele has said. But I guess I wanted to, this is issue that's been discussed in the chat here about whether this proposes a different fee, different application fee for services that are being provided by affiliates of already accredited registrars or I guess registries, or as contrasted with those that are not affiliated with any existing accredited entity. I took it from what Xavier said that he may not be aware that we've proposed a much more streamlined application process for affiliates of existing accredited entities, and that in fact even the compliance processes may well be cheaper for those entities because some of the information they're already providing, as in their role as registrars, for example. So I didn't hear that that's been taken into account. I heard Xavier say that it sounded as though there was going to be one fee for everybody, which in effect means that the accredited registrar, those that are accredited already, are subsidizing those that are unaccredited or not previously accredited, which I don't think was our intent. But I just wanted to see if you were, Xavier, if you were aware of that in coming up with these numbers, because it doesn't seem to reflect that I'm not sure what I have in front, we have in front of us, because now Amy says it's not the right one and she's sending another one. But maybe just to clarify that, to ask the question, did your proposed price take into account that both the application process and probably the administration process are...
That's what I need. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, if you understand my question, I won't have to finish it then. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I think I understand your question, Steve. And I think I alluded to it, but I may not have been clear enough. I am aware of the fact that we are offering, I think makes complete sense, a lower different pricing of the same accreditation application for an existing accredited registrar. And I think the fee pricing that we have suggested for any new potential contracted party is, from an application standpoint, is $3,500, which is the existing same fee for a registrar accreditation. But for an applicant to the privacy proxy accreditation process that already is a contracted party with ICANN, the fee would be $2,000. So acknowledging the difference in treatment simply because there's a number of things and information that are already available or already checked. So just to make it clear, I alluded to it, but I didn't mention it sufficiently clearly. So I'm thinking that's what you were referring to. And if it's not, please let me know, Steve.
Well, can I follow up on that? This is Steve again. Why is the line drawn between those that are already accredited and those that are not, rather than between those that are affiliates, which means in effect wholly owned subsidiaries of those that are already accredited and those that are not such affiliates? Because again, it seems to me that it ought to be easier to, a lot of this information has already been delivered in the case of these affiliates. And that's really what we're, I mean, let's get out of the clouds here and get back on terra firma. Most of these applications, perhaps 100% of them, we don't know, but most of these applications are going to be coming from entities that are wholly owned subsidiaries of accredited registrars. That's who's been, that's who dominates this market today as we understand it. So, and obviously there has to be some provision for unaffiliated applicants. There should be, but most of these people are going to be affiliated with existing registrars, but you're not offering them a discount. You're only offering it if, for example, the actual accredited registrar is the one that's applying to be privacy proxy service provider. What's the justification for that?
Hi, Steve. This is Amy. I just want to jump in for just a second before we turn this back over to Xavier, just to provide some additional background on that, if that's okay. Is that okay, Xavier, with you?
I was going to ask you for it.
Okay, great. Excellent. So thank you, Steve, for that question. The way that we reached the proposed distinction here for the application fee between existing accredited entities versus new entities, it came down mostly to the background check cost. The reasoning was that where there's an affiliate that's applying for accreditation, because that entity is not already accredited by ICANN, the affiliate will have to be background screened separately. Whereas an existing accredited registrar, if they have been recently background screened, they won't need to be background screened again. Even if they're affiliated with, for the affiliates, even if they're affiliated with the registrar, they're different legal entities, so it's possible they may have other things in their background that would need to be looked at through the due diligence process. So that's the main driver behind of the distinction between existing versus new, as opposed to affiliated versus not affiliated. And Xavier, if you have anything to add, I'll turn it over to you on that.
No, I just want to add, if I may, Steve, in addition to what Amy said, that I think that it may be slightly counterintuitive, but based on what Amy described, I think that it actually makes sense that we need to be able to have the same amount of clarity on an entity, whether it's affiliated to a registrar or not, that becomes an accredited registrar. If you look a privacy proxy provider, if you look at it down the road, and some issues appear that would have been caught in quotes or originating from a lack of compliance with the accreditation requirements at the time of application, we would that we would not have caught by not doing the right amount of diligence, then we would be caught at fault. So I think it makes actually sense. Now, if there are, the notion of an accredited, let me rephrase, an affiliated entity to an existing contracted party, if there is a need of clarity of information or basically a very transparent mechanism that allows us to not have to do some activities, I think that that should potentially be evaluated, and maybe there's a proposal that can be made that would help limiting the amount of activities associated with the application in the case of an affiliate. But at this point, we don't have those elements in hand. So I think that if you guys think that there is a potential here, I think that it would be a good venue to evaluate further. At this stage, we don't have enough elements to see that we could avoid to do a full application.
Thank you, Xavier, and this is Amy. We have several comments in the chat, and also for those in the room, if you have comments, please feel free to raise your hand. I'll try to go through, I'll just start at the bottom now, or McKaylee, actually your hand is raised, you can go ahead, and then we can go back to the chat if there aren't further hands.
Okay, thanks. McKaylee again for records and what have you. Okay, so the application fee with the background checks, I think most of us can understand that rationale. That makes sense. I suppose what would probably help in terms of providing it some degree of clarity would be, you know, at what point do you feel that you need to do a background check, and where do you draw that line? I mean, hey, if you really want to do a background check on me, well, work away. Maybe you'll find something interesting. It's the recurring annual fees, I think, that most of us have the big issue with. I've had great difficulty trying to parse Xavier's entire jive on cost versus price. And I'm not sure exactly what words would work better for me. I genuinely don't understand the approach here. I understand part of this with respect to making sure that the fee that is charged is related to what it actually costs to provide the quote unquote service. Still don't think it's much of a service. But to state that providing clarity and stability around the pricing is so overarching that you have to set the price at that particular level, I would say no, and I would say go have a look at the new TLD application fees, or go have a look at other things like that, which you've done in the past, where you padded the price to avoid the issue, and then you ended up with a ton of excess, and you're not too sure what exactly to do with it. Cyrus asks about where else it was going to come from. I don't really care. I mean, ultimately, if it's a question of, if you look at the overall ICAM budget, there's a lot of money involved. And some of us would say, well, you know, if it's a matter of choosing between sending 40 fellows to an ICAM meeting, sending 10 and actually paying for this, then I know what my choice would be. It would be pay for this. Thanks.
Amy, can I jump in, please?
Absolutely. Please go ahead.
Michele, thank you. On the at what point a background check is necessary or not, I think this is the criteria or the driver for background check evaluations is something that should be possibly, and since I have not seen the documentation that exists already, made clearer, and I think it would be helpful for everyone that the background checks are rationalized, which would help then understand better the answer to your question as to at what point is a background check becoming necessary or not. And I think it would help illustrate the answer and maybe evaluate further the point that Steve was making earlier on affiliated parties. Relative to using the, you mentioned the benchmark of other application fees like to the new GTLD program. I did mention it in that we had eliminated quickly this as a relevant benchmark, but I want to be on record to you, Michele, and to anyone on this call that the new GTLD application fee that you are alleging is reflecting an excess is not yet reflecting an excess. There's approximately $80 million of remaining funds to cover for risks as part of the new GTLD program. And considering the basis of lawsuits and IRPs currently going on and potentially yet to happen, we are in the process of evaluating whether this will be a sufficient amount of money to cover for the defense costs associated with it. So you may have a crystal ball, but we don't on the ability that these $80 million would be sufficient to cover for those risks that are ongoing. And by the way, if you want to make a parallel between the potential excess that you're referring to in this exercise on setting a pricing for privacy proxy, there's not been a risk factor included in the costing exercise that we've done. You just gave me another idea for the reason why the cost evaluation that we've made is actually a very restrictive and conservative one, being on the low end. And I think that's it for now.
Thank you, Xavier. This is Amy again. If anyone else in the room has questions or comments that you would like, or that you have for Xavier now, please raise your hand. I can go back through the chat and see if we have anything specific that hasn't been answered yet. Several folks have noted in the chat that the document that was circulated to the list doesn't have the distinction in that proposed application fee. And I'm sorry that somehow it's not included in this version, but I'll update the version and send it around to the list shortly. We have some questions from Chris Pelling in the chat. What risk is ICANN taking on this? Xavier, I don't know if you want to respond to that at this point.
Sorry, Amy, I was just typing, and it may appear now in the chat that I just responded to Chris. But more generally, okay. I was going to propose, if that's okay with you, Amy, that there's two things that I like that we can do following this call. I would like to send to the group a document that does two things that basically summarizes and documents what I described about the three elements that contribute to the price definition that allow everyone to have on paper, in quotes, this, because I think that it may be helpful to think it over for everyone, including us. Along with that, the third bucket that corresponds to costs, what I want to make sure we do is that we provide to you the breakdown of the cost estimate that we've used, which shows a cost that's slightly higher than the fee that is suggested to be used for application, for example, that will simply illustrate how this part of the assessment influences the fee, and we'll provide that breakdown along with those two documents. Within that document, I want to make sure that the cost information is looked at in the context of the three elements of benchmark, simplicity of the pricing, and the cost, because again, the cost is not the definition or determination of the pricing. The cost is a component that enters along with others into the definition of pricing, and that's why price is different than cost. And I'm happy to have a more philosophical debate with Michele around a beer or a glass of wine at the next opportunity. I think we still have a hand up for Steve Metalis, and I don't know if it's a recent one or not. While we figure that out, the second thing that I wanted to suggest is that we...
This is Steve. Can you hear me?
Yes. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I had a little trouble. Little trouble getting off mute. Just briefly.
Sure. Go ahead.
And this follows up on what Chris put in the chat. We thought we would be getting something in writing before this meeting, but if we can get it after this meeting, that would be good. Let me just make two requests. First, I think I encourage you to focus on the ongoing cost, because that seems to be the main concern for many of the people on this call. So, which I think was $4,000, if I'm looking at the document, at the right document. But whatever it was, I think if your response could focus on that, how that number was arrived at using your three factors. And secondly, you know, I think we're in a situation now where this is the main issue that's holding up sending out all of our work, the work that people have on this team have spent a year and a half on, I guess, and that if you look back in the PDP working group, we're probably onto the 4-year mark now. We're ready to go on this, except that the ICANN staff can't get us a written justification that people can understand about fees that some people have questions about. So can you get us that by Monday at the latest, or maybe by Friday, so that we can move ahead and get this, you know, try to wrap this up? And there are very few other loose ends, as I see it, before we get this out for public comment. I think it's very important in the current environment that ICANN show that it is capable of dealing with policy questions like privacy proxy. I think this is very important in the GDPR context. So can you get us this by Friday? And can you focus it on the issue that people seem to have the most concern about, which is the ongoing per year cost? Thanks.
Thank you, Steve, for providing that clarity on what's needed. So the timing by which we respond will depend on our ability to put together the information that there is and what I was going to say earlier when you jumped in is that I was also going to suggest that I take the chat. Text of the chat, if everyone is okay with that, to ensure that we also consider all the points or questions that have been raised in the chat and not necessarily addressed here. I can guarantee you that I will not be able to respond by Friday because I would need to clear my entire schedule, which is very busy this week for other reasons, including the budget public comments as well as the reserve fund public comments that are all coinciding this week. So I will not be able to do that, but we will nonetheless work with the team to try to put together the documentation in a fashion that can be offered to this group and put together the cost information that backs up the application accreditation fee. On the ongoing, which I think you mentioned is the other part of the privacy proxy accreditation annual fee, I think is the point that you were raising, is something that we will need to look at further to be able to put documentation. We have originally focused the exercise of cost estimates on the application accreditation fee, and we've done less exercises on the ongoing fee. I'll be transparent about that, which we've used mainly the similarity between the accreditation of the registrars to and the benchmark analysis to be able to pick in quotes that fee and the predictability of that. But I understand the question that you're asking. That's not just the application, but also the annual accreditation of privacy proxy that you guys care about. So, and I recognize that we would ideally have offered that documentation before the call for this call rather than after the call. So I appreciate that comment, and I understand that it would have been better to do it that way. So, but we will do that as diligently as we can. I personally will not be able to complete my part in this by this Friday, but I will try to make sure it happens no later than in the course of next week.
Thank you. Amy, just one follow-up. Is this meeting being recorded?
Yes, Steve. This is Amy.
Thank you.
This call is being recorded.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Xavier and everyone. We will go through the questions in the chat when we are working on providing additional documentation and a response to ensure that we respond to specific questions in there. Does anyone have any additional questions or comments before we wrap up for today? Okay, so thank you everyone. Thank you very much for your participation, and we will get back to you shortly with additional information. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.